There is a level of hunger here. Let me encourage you to continue to hunger after God. Stand together as a church and believe that God will not only bless you, but also the church. Okay, here we go. Thank you, Titus. Now I can have a good look at you. Praise God. Father, we thank you, O God, for your presence here this morning. We thank you for all that you have already done, and we believe, O God, this morning you're going to speak to us again and do something deep and powerful, not only in our individual lives, but also in our church as well. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, please, this morning to the book of Isaiah, the prophet, chapter 55. I'm sure you have read this portion of scripture before, Isaiah 55, but this morning I want you to look at it from the lens of Isaiah the prophet. Actually, Isaiah himself was a prophet, but very often we look at Isaiah 55 from the evangelistic point of view, but today through the lens of a prophet. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 to verse 11. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be let out with peace, and the mountain and the hill shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. One of the most important things we need to understand about God's word, whether it is just the preaching of God's word or a prophetic word, is to understand that God, when he speaks to us, will always speak to us in the context of our experiences. Now, I believe the written word, the preaching word, and the prophetic word are as important. Both of them are as important. Can you say a big amen? Can you say a big amen? In fact, you cannot grow holistically. You cannot grow to be strong. A church cannot be strong if a church do not appreciate and receive the preaching and teaching ministry that comes from their pastors and from the leadership of a church. I've been to churches that are very prophetically inclined. Some of the most outstanding prophets in the world are in those churches, but those churches never grow. They never grow large, or if they grow large, the back door is as big, if not bigger, than the front door. They don't seem to be able to sustain and to grow the church holistically. But if we are going to grow the church holistically and see a strong church, if Solomon Porch is going to be a strong church, we need to understand that both are important. Can you say a big hallelujah? The preaching of God's word and also the prophetic dimension of God's word. But having said that, our attitude towards the word is also important. Very often when we come to a church service, we sit down there like a couch potato and we say to the pastor without saying it, but our attitude is, now preach to me. All right, preach to me. And then if we are nice and good, we'll take some notes and then we forget where we put those notes. Come on, tell the truth. All right, okay, all right. So that is our attitude. And at the back of our mind, we'll say to ourselves, it's a good word, but I'm going to put it in the shelf somewhere, and then hopefully one day when I like it, or if God wants to speak to me again, I will take that word and listen to it again. But again and again in the Bible, you realize that when God speaks to us, it is not for us to take it and put it somewhere else, but it is for us to understand that God is speaking right into our situation today. Very often people come to church and say, the message is not relevant. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, when the word of God is preached, it is always relevant. You may not be in the right place. Your attitude could be misplaced, but the word of God is always relevant. God is always speaking. Can you say a big hallelujah? And he always speaks in the context of your experience. So if you feel the word of God is not relevant when it is preached or when it's prophesied, in all likelihood, it's because you are not listening. It's a bit quiet now. Because again and again in the Bible, you find that God speaks and releases word in the context of a human experience. God do not say to himself, I'm going to say something. Can you please write it down and then put it somewhere and one day they can pick it up. No, never. It's always in the context of a human experience. Now you find Isaiah here, he was talking about God's thoughts being different from our thoughts. God's ways are being different from our ways. He was talking about the difference between our thoughts and our ways with God's thoughts and ways are as far as the heavens is from the earth. It is in the context of the fact that Israel was going through one of the greatest and devastating judgment in their history. It was a very painful time for the people of Israel. When you go through that kind of stress and pain, you begin to try to interpret. You begin to try to understand. You begin to try to size up the issue using your own mind. And God is saying, I want you to know that my ways are different from your ways. You need to get God's interpretation of your situation. You need to be able to look at your situation and say to yourself, what is God saying? It's not what the newspaper is saying. It's not what the politicians are saying. It's not what the economists are saying. But what is God saying in your situation? And if you have that in your mind, you begin to realize God will shock many of us because his ways are different from our ways. His thoughts are different from our thoughts. We spent approximately 3 years raising funds to build our church building. And when it was built, you know, we were having difficulty getting the approval for that building. It was a very huge building. And then our building got arsoned, got burned. Some extremists came and burned our building. And of course, at that very moment, a lot of people expected us to react and expected us to get very, very upset. The Prime Minister came, first time in the history of Malaysia, with all the politicians, and one of my brothers was saying to me, you know, people need 3 years appointment to see one of the politicians, but within one day you saw all of them. So all of them came to church, the Islamists, they came to church. And then when the Prime Minister was there walking through the entire building that was burned, the office was completely wiped off. All our databases were gone, zero. We made a mistake of storing everything in one place. Ah, education, costly. All right. So, but at the end of the entire tour, he turned around to me and to his assistant, who is also the home minister at that time. He said, I can't believe it. All of them came to me, shook my hand, call me Mr. Prime Minister, and they're all smiling at me. And this is the word he used. It is nearly unreal. It is nearly unreal. It's nearly unreal. He could not believe it. He expected the few hundred people that gathered in the car park when he came, knowing that he is coming, will be carrying banners and doing all kinds of things, but there was no banners. All smile, chattering around, you know, in front of the building that was completely darkened because of the arson attack. Now, the reason is this. Because approximately 8 days before our building was burned, God spoke to us very clearly. Of course, God is very wise. He did not say, I am going to burn down your building. Now, if God said that to me, I'll freak out, you know. All right, then I'll be praying, you spirit, I bind you in Jesus' name. And then God says, stupid, it's me. It's not a demon. Of course, God wouldn't use the word stupid. He said, what's wrong with you? Right, Pastor Dom? Pastor Dom will tell me, I say, Glenn, you know class, do you? Yeah. He didn't say that, but on the watch night service, 8 days before he was burned, there was a prophetic word, and it was clearly it was published. We didn't understand a word of what it says. In fact, we misinterpreted that word. That word was, within a few days, I'm going to put you up in the newspaper. I'm going to put you up in CNN, BBC. And when I prophesied that word, I was feeling so small. My wife looked at me, and she gave me the kind of a look that basically say, honey, you're on your own right now. And I say, what kind of arrogance is that, you know, saying all this thing, you know, the kind of confusion that was going through my mind. That you know enough to realize that you have to obey God. So within a few days, you know, you're going to be in the media, you're going to be in newspaper. I mentioned CNN, BBC, and all these things, you know, event. The next things I said was, you know, and my leaders look at me with that kind of a look, you know, you're on your own again, Pastor. The word was, don't worry about anything, you know. Don't worry about planning. I said, how can you move into a building without worrying about planning, you know? Because within a few days, I'm going to cause you to rise up from the ground, you know. I said, okay. So that was, I think, Friday, the 31st. On Sunday morning, I told myself, God must have spoken. So I preached from the gospel about the kingdom of God, how a man went and in the middle of the night, he went and sowed the seed. He went to sleep. How many of you remember that parable? And he went to sleep. He didn't know what happened. But the next day, that seed grew up into a mighty tree, you know. You know what? I completely misinterpreted God. I thought God, when that prophecy came about, I will cause you to rise. I was giving me a word that the church is going to grow supernaturally. I thought that was the word. So I preached that word. I preached that word. I missed it completely. 8 days later on, it came to pass. It came to pass. Within hours, we were in the news. In fact, one of our members who was in Hong Kong called me that morning. What happened to the church? We heard that it was burned down. CNN was there. BBC was there. All of them were there. The church was completely gone. And then God did a miracle. We were trying for months to try to get our permit to enter the building. And within a stroke of a pen, the prime minister came and said, I'll approve it immediately. That was what God meant when he said, I will cause you to rise up from the ground, you know, supernaturally. You see, even a prophet and a man of God can miss God completely. There you are. No wonder God say, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. But the point I want to make across to you very clearly is this. When God, if we are going to interpret God's word clearly, if you're going to interpret what Pastor is saying on Sunday clearly, we need to believe that God is speaking always in the context of our experience. Can you say a big hallelujah? Can you say a big hallelujah? Now, Isaiah went on to saying that God does not only speak differently, thoughts are not only different from us. He went on to say, for the word of God to come to pass, there is a journey. There is a journey. In the book of Isaiah, chapters 55, verse 12 onwards, verse 10 onward, he says, as the rain comes down and snow from the heaven, and do not return but water the earth, and bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. In that verse, Isaiah was describing a process where rain comes, the snow comes, and snow melt, and as a result of that, begin to impact the seed, which is the word of God. And when the seed was properly impacted by the rain and nature, it began to grow up to be like a mighty tree. There is a process that we all go through. Can you say a big amen? Now, I want to share with you very quickly 5 particular steps to see the word of God come to pass in your life. 5 particular steps towards prophetic fulfillment when God speaks to us. Now, when I say five particular steps towards prophetic fulfillment, it is not necessarily a prophecy. It is also the way that God leads us when we study God's word, and then God begins to speak to us through the preaching and the teaching of God's word. This is the process that we go through when we hear a message, when pastor preach or whoever else is preaching. Are you with me? Okay, turn with me now to the book of Acts chapter 21. Five specific steps towards prophetic fulfillment of the word in our life. In Acts chapter 21, you find the story of Paul together with his church and a prophet. In verse 10, the Bible says, "And we stayed many days there, and there was a prophet by the name of Agabus who came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and say, Thus saith the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews in Jerusalem bind the man who owned this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. And Paul answered and say, What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. Number one, the first step is, or the first challenge is, the challenge to differentiate between a sure word and a convenient word. You know, very often when we listen to a message, for example, pastor is preaching on the importance of serving God. How many of you believe in that? Say a big amen. Say a big amen. Important of serving God. Pastor was preaching it so passionately. And he feels that is what the church needs today. He was very prophetic on it and he was preaching on it. Very often, a lot of people will listen to that message, be challenged by that message and say, I will respond and I will serve God. But inevitably, there will be another group that will say, yeah, but spiritual life is also equally important. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Am I making sense? Yeah. You must serve God right now. But there will be some who say, yeah, yeah, I've been serving God for a long time. Right now, I need to rest for a little while. One is a sure word, and the other one is a convenient word. You see, Paul knew instinctively and very clearly that God has called him to go to Jerusalem. He was very, very clear. He was very clear. He knew it very, very well. And then Agabus came along the way, and Agabus took his belt and bind him with his belt and say, the man who owned this belt is going to be bound and will be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, what Agabus was doing is, he was confirming and giving clarity to what God has already spoken to Paul earlier. And it was a very sure word, but the church misinterpreted completely. And they became very, very emotional about it. Because it was not a convenient word. We must distinguish and differentiate between a sure word and a convenient word. Now, nobody wants their pastor to be taken captive. Am I right? I hope you don't pray that your pastor will be kidnapped and taken captive and thrown into jail. Nobody wants that. It's not convenient. All right? It doesn't make human sense. It's difficult. It's very, very difficult. As a result of that, we began to get confused and we began to think that is what God is saying. That's the latest thing God is saying. But Agabus was not saying a new thing. He was just confirming what was old, what was already been said earlier. Very often we miss that sure word because we become emotional instead of becoming strategic. We become very religious instead of becoming spiritual. Pastor is preaching on giving your tithes and offering to the Lord, you know. And then some of us will do that. Others will say, yeah, but you know, the most important thing is to give our life to God. That is also true. But that is religious. Because that's not what God is saying at that moment. Hello? Come bluff me because I also pastor. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Pastor is preaching on, we must now all rise up, you know, and go to the mission field. A lot of people will say, yeah, that's God's word for us today. And some of us will say, yeah, but we also must, you know, stay back and take care of our family. At that point, if that's how you feel, that's religious. Because that's not what God is saying at that point. It's just like, you know, mom say to the little boy, boy, eat your vegetable. But my biology teacher tells me protein is equally important. Meat is equally important. But that's not what mom is saying. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know mom is smarter than your biology teacher as far as your nutrition is concerned? You say, we laugh about it. But very often, that's our attitude in church, isn't it? Because we rather hold on to a convenient word than a sure word. Pastor say, this is the time, this is the season for us to really pray and fast. I want you to come to church at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm not prophesying now. I'm coming to church at 5 o'clock in the morning and let's have the morning watch. Then the religiosity just rise up within you because it's not convenient for you. And you say, but Jesus said, Paul say, pray in the spirit, pray without ceasing. I can pray anywhere. You are right doctrinally, but you are religious because that's not what God is saying at that moment. Because God, when He speaks, is always in the context of a human experience. And everybody who is with me, say a big amen. You know, when the other reason why we cannot distinguish between a sure word and a convenient word is because we all like to camp around that word peace, you know. Peace, you know. But I've got peace. So I don't think I need to obey it. Oh, I don't have peace. How can I obey it? I want you to know when the word of God comes, it's not always peaceful. The word of God will cut. The word of God will divide. The word of God will consume. God's will is not always peaceful to your emotions. It's the kind of peace that is beyond all pain, all understanding. So if you don't face the pain, you cannot really talk about peace. Paul said, God will give you peace beyond all understanding. Am I right? We like to say, God will give me peace, full stop. So in other words, you can't actually claim that you have a peace of God unless you are willing to face the issue of that pain, the issue of that cutting, you know. Then you can say, you know, I'm ready to take that issue into hand. I'm ready to be engaged to with God's word. And when that happened, you feel the peace. Then it is the peace of God. But a lot of people, they never want to obey God, but they claim that they have peace. And that peace is birthed out of a religiosity. It is birthed out of a human emotion. It is not because God has spoken to them. Number one, you need to take the challenge to distinguish between a sure word and a convenient word. Number two, if you turn with me to Acts chapter 27. Are you still with me this morning? All right, okay. I want to lay some foundations for you. Acts chapter 27 is a story about another great journey. Paul's final journey in his ministry to Rome. Chapter 27, verse 9. And when much time has been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, man, I perceive. Say with me, I perceived. Say that again, I perceived. That this voyage will end up with disaster and much loss, but only, not only of the cargo and sheep, but also our life. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the sheep than by the things spoken by Paul. Number two, you need to discern the accurate times and the accurate season. Discerning the accurate time and season. Now, Paul was not a sailor. Was not a sailor. But the Bible says very clearly in verse 10, he said, man, I perceive that the voyage will end with disaster and much loss. In verse 11, the centurion used a different word. The centurion used the word persuaded. Now, these two words are opposite To perceive is a dimension of the spirit. It has to do with spontaneity. To perceive have nothing to do with thinking it through. To be persuaded, give us an idea of an exertion of a certain energy, an exertion of a certain opinion. I hear something, I hear a sale pitch, therefore I am persuaded to buy something that I don't need. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Right? Because that person is so persuasive. That person knows his stuff. Even though he packaged it differently, but he knows what he's talking about. That person knows how to work your emotion. He knows how to work your mind. He knows how to create the environment. He knows how to massage the right word into you. As a result of that, you become persuaded by what he's selling. It is an exertion of a certain energy. It could be an energy of experience. It could be an energy of education. It could be an energy of training. But it's an exertion. But perception or perceiving is a spontaneous thought that flows out of you. Now, some of you ladies may understand it, you know. A salesman come to the door and wanted to sell something. And usually, when my wife hear about it, she will quickly come to me and stand beside me. Because she knows my husband is going to get cheated again if I don't stand beside him. I'm the kind, you know, when I see somebody wanting to sell something at the door, I get so touched by it. How can they go from house to house to sell things? I better buy it, like, you know. You don't need it, so better buy it. You don't believe it, I'm very soft. And, all right. Buy it, just buy it, like, no matter. I'm the kind of guy that will never bargain, you know. My wife from 50% to 25%. That's the kind, and I get so embarrassed, I walk away. You know? I'm the kind, you know, $100, okay, you got money, buy. If no money, quickly just walk away. You know? She'll go there, and then and we open the door, and that guy will be selling, you know, and then I want to buy, I want to pay straight away. She said, no, 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 no. And after being married for quite a number of years, you'll be wise enough to listen to your wife. All right? Then we close the door, and then After closing the door, I will begin to climb up the wall. You know why? I'll ask her, hey, Nance, why are you telling me not to buy from this guy? I don't trust this guy. Why do you not trust this guy? I don't know, but I just don't trust this guy. When she said that, I'll start climbing up the wall. What do you mean? You don't trust this guy, but you don't know why you don't trust this guy, and you're telling me not to trust this guy. She perceived. Ladies, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Right. Perceive. There is no exertion of strength. There is no exertion of knowledge. There is no basis. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'm using all these words to describe that simple word. You know, it is spontaneous. It makes no human sense. You are not, number one, you are a prisoner. Shut up. Number two, you are not a sailor. Number three, you are a preacher. You are a rabbi. Number four, I have been sailing this ship for years. Who are you to tell me it's a wrong time to sail? And you know the end of the story. They got into trouble. They lost a lot of cargo. And very often, you know, instead of listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying, you know, we rather listen to the helmsman, the person who is in total control. We surrender our self-ownership to others, rather than listening to what the Spirit of God is saying. You need to discern the season and the timing. There's a basic difference between time and season. Time speaks about a fixed duration. Anything can happen during that time. God gives us 24 hours, but God gives us four seasons, at least in some of the colder country. Are you with me? Within 24 hours, you can do anything you want. Anything can happen within the 24 hours. The good, the bad, the ugly, the spiritual, the carnal, anything can happen. But God gives us four seasons. The time speak about a fixed duration. Seasons speak about a fitting time tailored for a particular event. When it is winter, All right, you change your clothing. It becomes thicker and warmer. When it is summer, you don't wear winter clothing. You do and you act, you respond in a particular way, in a particular season. There are times in our life where God gives us time, where God allowed us to respond. God allowed us to use what we know, and God allowed us to be wise and use our experiences. You know. But there are times in our life where God brings a season where God will demand a particular action. God will demand a particular response. You see, in Hong Kong right now, the room that I'm staying right now is an excellent room. Thank you, Pastor. You know, God can get very cold. So I have to put on something before I go to bed. If I off the air condition, you know, it's not that cold. I can sleep without my shirt on. All right? But if I go to another country where it's winter, whether I like it or not, I have to keep myself warm. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You see, God is the one who established times and season. In your own personal life, you know, when you're a young man, it's a good example of time. When you're a young man, there's a lot of things that you can do. You can go without telling anybody anything, you know. You're a single, do what you want. When you get married, you're in a season of your life where certain things are demanded of you as a married man and woman. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's a lot of married bachelors in church nowadays. That's why some marriage get into trouble. Married bachelors. They are married, but they still behave like a single. You need to distinguish between the accurate season and the accurate time. The Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles 12:32 that God gave the sons of Issachar the ability to discern the time, and in doing so, to also know what to do. If you cannot discern the time, you will not know what to do. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Say a big amen. So Paul said, you are going to be in trouble. But this man was persuaded by his experience. He was persuaded by his learning. He's persuaded by his training. If we are going to move in the power of the Spirit of God, we need to realize that sometimes God's ways are not necessarily our ways. Sometimes our education can be a liability. Sometimes, you know. Sometimes God will use our experiences, but sometimes God will completely bypass our experiences. Sometimes God will make sense to us in the way He does things. Other times, no, we just have to trust Him and believe that He knows what He is doing, and we will just follow along. Can you see a big amen? The challenge number two of discerning accurately the season and the time. Number three, in Acts chapter 27, verse 18 and 19, and because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship, and on the third day we threw the ship tackles overboard with our own hands. Number three, this is going to be very challenging. Number three, you need to reassess your value systems. This one we all don't like to do. We need to reassess our value system. The storm was so bad. I want you to imagine a huge cargo ship. The baby grand piano is down there. All your beautiful clothings are down there. All your beautiful cars is like a ferry. Everything is inside there. And then your life is being threatened. At that very moment, the ship is sinking. What do you do? Sing together with that beautiful baby piano? Or you can decide what is most important for you at that very moment. The Bible says they began to throw the ship's tackle overboard, and they begin to think the things that they feel is not as important. They begin to lighten the ship. We are transformed by our values that we live by, not by structures, not by teaching or methodology. We are transformed by the value that we live by. I've got a friend who recently bought a mattress that costs around $6,000. I look at him and he told me and say, you are mad, man. $6,000 just for a mattress. And he said, but I value sleep. I go into his house, into his living room. The sofa is so ugly, so dilapidated. You sit on it, you know, and you will break your back, you know. I mean, his bicycle is so old, you know. It should be in the museum. I think his laptop, and they don't have that kind of operating system anymore. But yet, he spent $6,000 for a mattress. His car, when he starts his car, the whole neighborhood wakes up. Vroom! Not because it's a powerful car, but it's a noisy car. Very old car. But he will spend an amount of money for a mattress because he values his sleep very much. You are transformed and you make decision according to your value system. Come on, let's be honest. You don't make decision just because the Bible says so. And of course, your value system must be determined by the Bible. If you value souls, if you value eternity, then you will put your money where you value. If you value your walk with God, then you will spend time with God. If you value the people of God, then you will engage with the people of God. You make decision and you are guided by your value system. It affect your daily decisions. And very often when God's word comes, whether it's a prophetic word or whether it's a word that comes from the pulpit, our greatest challenge is it rocks and challenges our value system. Are you still with me? You look very quiet. It is sinking in. In fact, if you look into the Bible, you will miss God's best in your life if you have the wrong value system. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Let me give you an example from there. You will miss God's best if you have the wrong value system. Luke chapter 18 is a very interesting story about a rich young ruler. Now a certain ruler in verse 18 came to him and said, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" I wish all my members are like that, you know. "Pastor, what should I do?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." Wow. And when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very, very rich. Number one, let me ask you the question, do you think Jesus needed his money? I don't think so. I mean, I don't want to believe in a God who needs my money. He owns all the cattle in the hill and the hill as well. Can you see a big amen? The gold is his, the silver is his, everything is his. I don't want to serve a God who needs my money. So I don't think Jesus was going after that young man's money. I don't think Jesus had problem with people following him. But what was the issue? Why did that young man turn away when he came so dynamically, when he was so inspiring, when he was so revived at the beginning when he came to Jesus? Why did he end up so badly? He came to church on a Sunday morning, very happy, expecting great things from God, ready to serve God. But by the end of the service, instead of coming to the altar call and be changed and follow Jesus, he left the service angry and disillusioned. Why? Why? Was it because there was a change of personality then? No, it was the same Jesus that he talked to from the beginning to the very end. Why did he become sorrowful instead of continually being inspired? It was because Jesus was challenging something that was very valuable for him. The issue here was not even the adultery, was not even the stealing and the false witnesses. No, don't you think Jesus knew that he knew those things? I don't want to serve a God that have to be educated by me. God knows everything. Can you see a big hallelujah? This afternoon you are going to learn about spiritual gift, about words of knowledge, a word of wisdom, you know. But God do not have a word of knowledge. God is all-knowing. Can you see a big amen? But he share a word of knowledge with you. You're going to learn that this afternoon. Attend the class. He knows all these things. But what is the main issue? The main issue was Jesus touching on something that is of the greatest value to him. And God is saying, I want you to reassess your value system. Is your eternity more important or is your money more important? The issue is not me wanting your money. The issue is how much do you value eternity? How much do you value your walk with God? I submit to you the greatest challenge on every Sunday morning is not hearing a good preacher. It's not even your desire to meet God. The greatest challenge on every Sunday morning is when God began to challenge your value system. What is more valuable? Who is more valuable? Where is more valuable? Are you with me? That's it. And very often, because we fail to reassess it, we miss God's best in our lives. Miss God's best in our lives. When you receive a prophetic word, believe me, it's not magic. The old Pentecostal charismatic paradigm is this. When God said it's going to come to pass, I want you to know every prophetic word will have its condition. And I begin to notice one of the basic reasons why some prophetic word never come to pass is more than the condition. It's because that prophetic word is not allowed to challenge our value system. Oh, God spoke to me, I'm going to be a great evangelist. And we all like that. We all like that. But are you willing to live like an evangelist? Are you willing to lead like an evangelist? Are you with me? Amen. Pastor taught us that we must pray. That's very good. But I submit to you that you will never, never pray as much as you should be praying unless you value prayer more than your comfort. Unless you value prayer, talking to God, more than talking to one another. Or rather, talking to yourself. Reassess your value system. Are you with me? Yeah. I'm trying to make you laugh so that it's easier. Number three. Number four. You must take the challenge of realigning yourself with apostolic direction. Chapter 27, the book of Acts, verse 30. Apostolic direction. Let's begin by looking, let me see, at verse 20. Now neither sun nor stars appear for many days, and no small tempers beat on us. All hope that we would be saved was finally gone and given up. But after long abstinence from food, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Man, you should have listened to me." Can't any say Thai say yeah? Yeah. "Man, you should have listened to me. I told you so. Listen. And not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster. Incurred this disaster and loss. But now I urge you." Now listen to me now. Listen to me now. You didn't listen. "But now I urge you now. Listen to me now. And take this to heart." Notice the word. Verse 22 is heart. "Take courage, for there will be no more loss of life among you." What a declaration. "But only of the sheep. For there stood by me this night an angel of the Lord, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, man, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told. However, we must run around on a certain island.'" Realign yourself with apostolic direction. During those days, they don't have compasses. They look to the sun. They look to the moon and stars for direction. Moons and stars in the Bible always speak about government. Always speak about government. It always talk about rulership. When I talk about apostolic direction, I'm not saying that you must always listen to a person called apostle, but basically it means you must realign yourself to the apostolic vision of your house, the apostolic direction of your house. And this is your house. Solomon Porch is your spiritual house. Can you say a big amen? A lot of us never think that way, you know. A lot of us think of a church is just a place I receive my feeding. A church is a place where I receive my spiritual impartation and nurturing. And I appreciate my church. I appreciate. No, you must go beyond that. The church is a place where He gives what you need. He gives what you want. He leads you where He wants to lead you. He places you where He wants to place you. Are you with me? To a lot of us, the church is a place where I find myself actualizationed in a way where I can serve in a way that makes sense to me. It's a place where I exercise my spiritual gift. All those are good, but having apostolic vision and aligning yourself with apostolic vision also means that it is a place where God places you, where He wants to place you, irrespective of your gifting or your liking or your preference. What is God doing in Solomon Porch? If you're not sure, ask your pastor. He has all the answers. He is the apostolic leader in the church. So if you are going to see the fulfillment of God's plan for your life, you mean even for my family? Yes. How many of you want God to bless your family? Say a big amen. You want God to bless your career? Say a big amen. I'm giving you a very important key right now. If you want your family, your personal life, your career to be blessed, you must make sure you know exactly what God is doing in your house, your spiritual house, and work along with the spiritual house as well. The people were panicked, in a panic state, and everybody was very discouraged and depressed. And Paul stood up. Now, this guy is a preacher. He's not a sailor. And he made a declaration in verse 22. I urge you to take to heart and be courageous, that there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. He was making a declaration, a very clear statement. But that's not what I want to camp on today. I want to camp on the reason why he was so confident in making that declaration. He said, the reason why I can say that was because I was visited by an angel, and you can read it on your own. He was describing the ministry that God has given to him. And he was basically saying to them, you know, hey, you guys are not going to die because I have to get across. And as long as you stick with me, you are going to be all right. I remember when 9/11 happened, there was a time in which I was traveling quite a lot as well. And one evening, my elders and me, they were in my house and we were having dinner together. And we were talking about my traveling schedule. And then one of them said, hey, Pastor, maybe during this season you don't travel too much. And now the airplane. I said, it's very cheap to travel now. I was just trying to be cheeky. And they're panicking them even more. Pastor is going to travel not because of ministry, just because it's cheap. Pastor, I've got a traveling bug, you know. So I said, don't worry, if his money is cheaper to travel right now. He said, no, with what has happened last week, I believe it was around 1 week after 9/11. You know, I think you should maybe change. I'm sure, you know, if you tell these people, they will understand. And to be honest, I was thinking about it when they said, you listen to them, you know, wise people. Then my little girl, Andrea, at that time was around 3 years old. Came to me and said, Daddy, can I say something? I said, sure, honey, you can say it. You know, she was taught well that if you want to say something in front of your elders, you ask permission first, you know, manners. I said, go. And then in a sweet voice, you know, and she said, you know, anybody, you know, will want to travel with my daddy. I look at her, wow, what a wisdom, why, huh? You know why? With a cute little voice, she said, because my daddy got a mission to go and he has to come back. Anybody who is in the same flight with my daddy will be saved. What a word of wisdom. That's exactly what Paul is saying. I have to arrive. That is God's destiny for my life. That's God's plan for my life. And it will come to pass. I have to go to Rome. I have to stand before the king at that time. So if you want to be saved, keep close to me. It's called blessing by association. The destiny of your personal life is always tied up with the destiny of the home church that you are part of. And this is a very challenging thought to a lot of people. Because a lot of people, you know, they come to church with a spiritual mindset. It's God and me. I minister to God. God ministered to me. And then I minister to my brothers and sisters. You have to go beyond that spiritual mindset. You have to develop that apostolic mindset. The mindset that says God is giving a direction on into my life, but the direction of my life will come to pass if I also understand and know God's direction for my spiritual family. Even as I invest in my spiritual family, God will begin to invest in my life. If I care for what is very important to God, God will care for those people and things that are important to me. If I take care of God's family, God will take care of my family. It's in the Bible. Apostolic direction. That's why I always tell my church member, I always speak to my business people. I tell them very, very clearly, are you part of a church? Say, yeah, Pastor, I've been with you from the very beginning, from the days of Abraham. Some of them so spiritual, use words like that. No? I say, okay, do you know what we are doing? Oh, I've been very busy. I say, shame on you. I mean, they are very supportive. They give their money. They give their time. But I was pushing them. I was asking them, do you know what God is doing in our church? Do you know what God wants to do now in our church? Some of them would say, but we have been very, very busy. I said, that's a very poor excuse. Nowadays, you got streamings, you got emails. Nowadays, you got CDs, you got media. You get to know what is happening in church, even though you are in the other end of the world. It's incumbent upon you to make an effort to catch the spirit and the direction of the church. I say, anyway, if you don't know, you can always ask me. Are you still with me? It's not enough just to go through the spiritual exercise in the church. You need to know how God and where God is ruling and governing the church towards. Hello? Amen. And if you do that, you're going to find that God will build a church. And God will begin to build your life as well. Realign yourself with apostolic direction. And finally, in closing, Acts 27 verse 40. And they let go the anchors, left them in the sea, meanwhile losing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and make for shore. But striking a place where two sea met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow struck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of waves. Going all the way down to chapter 28, when they had escaped, they found themselves in an island called Malta, and the native showed us unusual kindness. For they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. Going all the way down to verse 8. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. And Paul went in to him and prayed, and he laid hand on him and healed him. And when this was done, the rest of those on the island who were diseased also came and were healed. And they also honor us. Say with me, honor us. Say it again, honor us. They also, say also. Say it again, also. They also honor us in many ways. And when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. They honored Paul. But because they were with Paul, the people also honored them. But my last point is to cut away from the old. You know, one of the things I've learned in the last few years is this, that I can be very open and not committed. I can be very open and not committed. I can read all the books I want, listen to all the sermons I want, and listen to all the great teaching I want. Oh, very good, very good, very good. But not necessarily committed. A time must come in your life, in your ministry, where you have to cross over to the other side. The Bible says that the ship was so tempest-tossed, was so broken up. A time came where they realized that they have to cut off the sail and let the ship move where it has to go, you know. And you read the story. They hit land. The whole thing was broken up and they ended up in Malta, the island of Malta. You need to cut away from the old anchor that hold you to old positions. I know when you are new in church, you carry with you a lot of your old traditions and your old ways and your old perceptions of Christianity, our church leadership, church direction. We all are like that. We are all a sum total of our past experiences. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And it's not necessarily wrong. Are you with me? Are you with me? It's not necessarily wrong. But if you are going to benefit the best out of your own church, a day will come where you need to cut away all the old anchor and say, I'm going to take up the value, the core values, the vision, and the direction, the spirit of this church, lock, stock, and barrel. Now, I believe in loyalty. I believe in faithfulness. I'm going to say something here, but listen to me. Don't jump yet. I believe loyalty is important. Faithfulness is very, very important. But loyalty and faithfulness is not everything. Don't jump. Let me explain. It's not everything. In the context of God's work, it's not everything. Recently, I had a meeting, a summit, a leadership summit, just last week, 2 weeks ago, with all my national executives and all the different leaders of manning the national departments. I was talking to them. We had a day together discussing the work of God in Malaysia. So I closed that session that afternoon by telling them, hey, the Assemblies of God need to go forward. If not, I'm going to go forward without the Assemblies of God. They look at me, oh, some of their jaw drop. This is the general superintendent speaking. I said, that's it. I'm also a man of God. So I told them, you guys have to decide. You guys better be serious whether you want the movement to go forward or not. Loyalty and faithfulness is very, very important in the context of ministry, but it is not everything. Loyalty and faithfulness is the fruit of the Spirit. We all should be loyal to what God has brought over our lives. Can you see a big amen? If God, we should be loyal to our family. You know why? Because God gave us that family. Are you with me? Amen. But you see, if you are going to have a good marriage life and develop a good family, a time must come where you have to decide whether you marry your mother or you marry your wife. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Hello? I'm just being very pointed about it. Are you getting me? Right? Am I right? Ladies, am I right? Yeah, you have to decide. But, granted, the man that you have married is a sum total of mother's care to the last 35 years. Granted, you cannot discount it overnight. It will not be discounted by just the word, I do, believe me. No amount of counseling can discount it immediately. But a day will need to come where you need to cut away the anchor of the past and say, hey, mom, you will always be mom, but stay as a mom. This is my wife. A day will come where you have to tell yourself that I'm not only a man with a family, I have my own family. I have my own family. My brother's family, my sister's family are my extended family, but I have my own family. You see, loyalty is very, very important. It's the fruit of the Spirit, but it's not everything. So if God has brought you into a particular place, brought you into this church, I want to speak. You notice the direction I'm taking this morning, you know. I'm talking about a church again and again, you know. I know you guys come from different nations. Your pastor talked to me about it. Different tradition. Pastor Dom has kept me abreast. But the challenge today is this. Are you willing to adopt the spirit, the vision, the direction of Solomon Porch? And I encourage you to do that. Begin to catch the way the church is growing in worship. Catch the way the church is growing in prayer. You know, yeah, you will have your preference. You will have your experience. But the day will come where you have to cut your anchor. I've got people in my own church. I tell them very, very clearly, I will be patient with you. But believe me, we are moving forward. If you're going to be part of it, believe me, you're not going to change my mind. It's incumbent upon you to change your mind. Because I've already changed my mind and surrendered my mind so that I can have the mind of Christ. Can you see a big amen? So if you are going to be part of this family, you're going to have to cut away those powerful anchors. And sometimes it's very easy to cut away those anchors in still time when everything is fine. But you see, but having turbulence and having stress and having a storm is part of God's journey in our life. Amen. When God leads us from one place to another, it's not always smooth sailing. You know, it's the peace of God beyond all understanding. It is the peace of God in the midst of the storm. It's the peace of God in the midst of peace. It is the peace of God in the midst of plenty. It's the peace of God in the midst of lack. So let's get it very, very clear. So part of the journey of God in our life will have all this full spectrum. Times where we like it, time when we don't like it. Time when we can understand it, time when we cannot understand it, time in which we are so inspired by it, time in which we will be so afraid of it. Oh, pastor's vision is so big, I don't think I can do it, you know. Ask God for that peace that is beyond all understanding. Can you see a big hallelujah? And then cut off the anchor of the powers and begin to move forward. When you do that, you're going to see the word of God fulfilled in your life. The prophetic word is not a magical word. I'm not an Old Testament prophet. Pastor Dom is not an Old Testament prophet. We don't write scriptures anymore. And we don't intend to do that. Nothing of all that we said, you know, is without condition. Everything that we said is with condition, you know. And that condition can come through the preaching of God's word. The condition can come through the teaching of God. So the condition can be given to you in a prophetic word, you know. It is not a magical word. And because it is not a magical word, you will be challenged. You will be challenged, number one, to differentiate between a sure word and a convenient word. As you listen to this message this morning, some of you is being challenged, you know. You may like point number three better than point number four. I encourage you to take all the five. Take all the five. Some of you, you know, will have to learn to discern the accurate time and season. Simply meaning, you know, you need to tell yourself, if this is what God is wanting to do now, I better get myself online and get it done now. The issue is not whether it's convenient for you. If it's not convenient, get yourself convenient. If it's difficult, get into the presence of God. If you don't have sufficient strength, God is your sufficiency. Discern the time. If now is the time, get into the act. And everybody say a big amen. And you need to reassess your value system. This church I was told is a church of professionals. A lot of you are very, very busy people. And your pastor was talking about seven mountains, a seven sphere of influence. If you're going to influence things for God, it's going to demand you to change your value system. Recently, I was in a businessman convention. I was speaking and I was the final speaker. And then they said, you know, Pastor, I just want you to share what is in your heart, you know. Just share. Don't worry about what we have said, you know. So I told them, I said, and this is what I said. I told them the whole idea of marketplace ministry right now is in total despair. They all look at me. The speakers will look at me. I say it is a deception to think that God can use you in marketplace ministry and not expect God to transform your life. it all come together. The issue is not the transference of wealth. The issue is the heart. Can you see a big amen? I tell them, you cannot expect God to use you out there and still, you know, have your own value system, still behave in your own ways, you know, and demand your own ways, and just cap it up with the word marketplace ministry. If God has given you a marketplace ministry, God who give you the power to make wealth will also give you the power to reassess and adopt a new value system. That's it. That's why it's important that you learn market ministry from your own church, in your own church, and hear what your pastor is doing and saying to you very, very clearly, because he's the custodian of the word of God to challenge you in your growth holistically. That's the attitude. A lot of marketplace ministry people today do not pay attention to their pastor and do not pay attention to what is happening in the church. And when you ask them, why are you not in church? Why are you not growing in church? Why are you not around? Oh, I'm involved in marketplace ministry. I want you to know, George Soros can teach you how to transfer wealth, but your pastor will be able to teach you how to be transformed. Can you say a big amen? Amen. Come on, give the Lord a great hand for that. Amen. I tell you, he can teach you how to transfer wealth. Warren Buffett can teach you how to invest. You don't need to be spirit-filled there. But only a man and woman of God can hold out the word of God to bring the word of transformation and the anointing of transformation for your life. You will be challenged in your value system. Some of you have received prophetic word last night, and you're going to receive it today. And Pastor Dom is going to continue to pray for you in the days to come. But let me share this with you very clearly. The prophetic word will only work powerful in your life if at the same time you allow God to minister to your life as well. Some of you, if you are going to see it come to pass, will have to realign yourself with apostolic direction. I encourage you to talk to your leaders. Talk to your pastor. God, what is God doing now? I encourage you to work with the church. I encourage you not to only take this as a place of meeting. This is your spiritual home. Can you say a big hallelujah? This is where you invest your time, your effort, your finances, your gifts. And finally, I encourage you to cut away from the old. How many of you are ready to move on in the Spirit of God? Say a big amen. Then you must be willing to cut the anchor of the old. The anchor of the old is not necessarily bad. I have to do it at every juncture of my life, especially when you have a friend like Dominic, you is always pushing you to the edge, you know. And if I'm going to move forward, you know, I have to cut off my good but old experiences. I have to walk into virgin areas of ministries that I've never walked into before. I have to navigate new areas of life and ministry that I've never navigated before. When our church began to grow, the property size is at least 200% bigger than our former property. I used to be able to get out of my car and just walk across the road into my office. Now, by the time I walk to my office, I feel tired. I told my staff about it before we move in, and they don't believe me, you know. But now they say, oh, yeah, Pastor, oh, you're very tired. I told them, please build up your stamina before we move into the building. They say, yeah. But they never believe it. Now they are suffering because of it. I have to. When the church grows, there are all kinds of people in the church. The good, the bad, and the ugly. The goldfish and the piranhas. They're all there. They're all there. So I have to change my ways and my approach. We used to be able to worship, you know, for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and worship until the glory of God come down. But now, because of the number of services, we have to bring in the glory down in 15 minutes. Within 15 minutes. Last time we can work at it. Da, 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 da. Now you have to hit it immediately. You know. Last time the worship leader can go up and down and up and down and up and down and finally hit it. You know, take off. Now, at the beat of the first note, we will have to be ascending. We have to change. There's nothing wrong with your ways of doing things necessarily, but it is not enough for the new. in your own personal life, let me say this word of wisdom to you. You will never progress to the next level unless you cut off yourself from the old level. You will, unless you are willing to do that. How many of you are willing? Say a big amen. Stand up to your feet. Hallelujah. Praise God. Musician, could you come, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Every head is bowed and eyes is closed, standing in God's presence. I just feel very strong in my heart this morning to challenge you to think about the church for a little while. Think about the church for a little while. We will have plenty of time to do personal ministry. While your head is bowed and eyes is closed, let me ask you some very pointed question. Have you been praying for your church? Of course you do. But have you been really praying for your church? Praying as if this is your church. Praying as if the survival of a church is dependent upon your prayer. Have you been giving to the church? Or are you just giving tips to the church? Some tips are bigger than other tips, but God wants our tithes and our offerings. Have you been doing that for the church? Because you will never do that unless you place a strong value in your church. Have you been serving God? Everybody serves God in a church. You can't be in a church for too long without being sucked into the service of the church. But are you serving according to what God is doing in the church? Are you willing to make that adjustment? Sometimes it will demand more of your time. Sometimes it will demand more of your efforts. I'm not here to tell you what to do because I don't live among you. But the principle is the same. Only God and you know whether you have placed value into the apostolic vision of this church. Hallelujah. And finally, the last question is, have you been paying attention to the transformation work of God in your own life? When is the last time you look into the mirror and are surprised that you have changed? I'm not saying have you advanced more biblical knowledge. I'm not saying how much prayer you have received from the church, from the pastor, the speaker. I'm asking you how much transformation have God done in your lives? Because God is not in the business of just talking to us. His word shall not return void. You have been hearing sermon for the last 10 months, 9 months, assuming you're here every Sunday. The Bible said the word shall not return void. But if it has returned void, it means it's not, the problem is not with God. He said it shall not return void. So if it has returned void, it simply means there is something that needs to be addressed on the receiving end, which is you. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands to God. We praise your name. We worship you, Lord. Just lift up your hands to God, church. And let's begin to worship God. We bless your name. Hallelujah, Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Pray specifically for a group of people this morning. You're standing here And while I was preaching this morning, you felt you will only respond to this altar call if you feel it. You felt in your heart, yes, the level of your intake of God's word and God's prayer over your life does not seem to commensurate with the level of growth and transformation in your own life. And you know God's word do not return void. As a result of that, you felt something need to be done in your life so that God's word will have its full effect upon your life. I do not know what need to change in your life. And it doesn't matter. I do not know what issues that you have that is hindering God's word from taking its full power and transforming you. But the most important thing is you feel it. And if that's you, if you are saying, Pastor, I felt like that God's word have come into my life, do not seem to have taken great impact in me, and I want you to pray for me. If you are those people, I want you to quickly walk up to your seat right now and come to the front. Hallelujah. Come right now. You come. You felt in your heart that you've been receiving so much from pastor, from different ministry. You felt in your heart this morning God is speaking to you, but yet at the same time you don't seem to see the embodiment of that word as much. No, just lift up your hands, my dear friend, brother and sister, just lift up your hands. Church, I want you to stretch your hands in that direction. Let's begin to pray for them. Praise God. I want you to pray aloud, everybody. Pray loud. Oh, hallelujah. Release your presence. Release your power. Lord, loose your anointing upon your life. But whatever that is holding them back, I pray you break through in your life in Jesus' name. Break out in the name of Jesus. Whatever that is holding them back, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Whatever that is holding them back, I command a release of God's power. Touch them. Touch them right now. Break through in your life. In the name of Jesus, receive. I've come against every work of darkness that is stopping them. Every work of darkness that is holding them back, I break you in the name of Jesus. I exalt thee, exalt thee, oh God.
Father, we commit this that are standing before you right now. And the Lord will say to you this day, know this, my son and my daughter. I have called you by name. I know you. And I am your God. I see where you are right now. Nothing happens by chance, my son, my daughter. Nothing has happened without my knowledge. That which you have gone through, and sometimes when you seems as if that which you're going through and you're wondering why you're going through this. Some of you are wondering, Lord, you have been silent, but I have been just following. And the Lord will say to you this day, know this, my son and my daughter. For I am the Lord your God, and I am the Lord that has taken you up to this place. I have brought you here so that I can continue to fashion a greater work in your life. Know this, that when reality does not match that which I'm doing in your midst, that is because, my son and my daughter, I am the Lord that is calling you closer to myself. Know this, my son and my daughter, this day I have taken you unto myself. And as you come closer and closer into my presence, know that my spirit will lead you to something greater than you have ever experienced before. For this day I come by my spirit to draw you and to take you to a certain place. And that certain place will be an awesome place. And in that awesome place you experience great transformation. For the days are coming, for the time and the season is now, that my transformation of power will work on the inside of you. And it will increase on the inside of you until it will manifest on the outside of you. And then in that time and in that season, then you will know that you are in that awesome place. In that time and in that season, then you know why I have taken you through this route. You know, I sense that even as you're standing here, there are scales that are being removed right now. There are scales that are dropping off you. And God is removing those scales of personal values. God is causing you to embrace a corporate value. And for the Lord will say to you this day, it is not by coincidence that you are here, but it is by divine orchestration that I brought you into this body. So know this, my son and my daughter, life is found in this place. For apart from me, you will have no life. So know this, my son and my daughter, I'm causing you to lose yourself that you may find yourself. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this, whose scales will be removed, that they may embrace the greater, so that they can step into prophetic fulfillment. I pray, Father, that you will take a hold of this life right here. Let there be the exchange with heaven, and then by the Spirit propel them towards the fulfillment of God, helping them to understand the clarion call of the Spirit. I pray, Father, grant them the gumption, the strength, the courage to continue to take that step every day forward with you into the fulfillments of God. And so, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, as I commit them into your hand. I ask, Spirit of God, that you will bless them. Bless them as they hearken to the voice of their leader, Pastor Sam, today in this local congregation. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Sam. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Eugene. Lord, thank you for the pastoral staff that you've given to this church. And the Lord will say to both the pastoral staff, for I am the Lord your God and I will lead you. For there has been a sense of leading, and yet at the same time there has been a sense of restlessness. There is a growing restlessness that will cause you to step into a place of discontent. And notice, my son, it is my spirit that has put the spirit of discontent on the inside of you, so that you will not come to a place of status quo. But there is a greater sense of mission that is coming forth on the inside of you. Something greater, something bigger, and you've been sensing that. But at the same time, know this, my son, the enemy seeks to abort that which I have planted on the inside of you. For the enemy has come in different waves and after waves. He has even caused you to be disheartened by those closest around you, those whom you feel ought to be loyal. Sometimes they have not spoken words to affirm. Sometimes they have not taken steps to show their alignment. But know this, my son, I will continue to take you forward. And as I draw you forward, just be bold and courageous. Continue to declare, thus says the Lord. Do not be affected by those that are not in alignment. Do not be affected by those that say, why should we be giving? Why should we be serving? Why should we be praying? Know this, my sons, for I have called you for that which I have placed on the inside of you as my foundation. That should not stop, but that should continue to greater things. For you have come through a season, and I'm about to take you to a greater season. For the Lord will say to you, Solomon Porch, I have brought you to a certain place, but I call you today to press in deeper for the greater that I have in store for you. So, Father, I thank you for the pastoral staff. I thank you for this church. I pray, Father, right now, that as a body, that they will continue to walk in alignment. And as Pastor Sam and Pastor Eugene continue to lead them, I thank you, Lord, for the holy discontent that is on the inside of them, because that will propel them to the greater. And I pray, Father, this word that has been spoken this day, may it continue to resonate deep, deep on the inside of every man and woman. Cause no man and woman rest until they come into the place of alignment towards the apostolic direction, the apostolic mandate that you've given to this church. And so we thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the Lord will even continue to say that I am stirring you, saith the Lord. Just at the pool of Bethesda, I am stirring you. And the Lord say, walk in immediately. Do not say how it's going to be done, when it's going to be done. The Lord say, have faith and move in. For there has been a period of time in the church where you have to think, where you have to learn, that you have to consider. But you have taught enough. You have considered enough. You have learned enough. And if you are going to move forward, the Lord say, just move into that river. Just move into that pool. For I am stirring you by my Spirit, saith the Lord. For you are entering even into a season of spiritual power and spiritual anointing, saith the Lord. But the Lord will even continue to say that I will send men and women who will move in that same dimension of power and spirit. But beware that you do not allow them to enforce their agenda upon you, saith the Lord. That I, the Lord your God, will even grant you the spirit of wisdom and discernment. For many will come and say, I will partner with you. Many will come and say, I will be part of you, but I will put my spirit upon you, and you will know whether to engage them or not to engage them. For the Lord will even declare, you are entering a season where many among you and some from outside will begin to rise up and said, I will give my life, I will give my entire life for the ministry of this church here and the extension of this church in the days to come. But know this for sure, this is the time of the stirring of my spirit upon your spirit. Listen to what your spirit is saying and respond to what your spirit is saying. There was a time in which you have thought through and think through. Now is the time to act in the power and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we release, O God, the prophetic unction of God upon this entire congregation. We thank you, dear Lord, for blessing Dominic and myself with this anointing, we pray in the name of Jesus that it will rest powerfully upon, O God, Solomon Porch, O Father. That Solomon Porch will be known as a people with an apostolic mandate, an apostolic vision and direction, O God, but at the same time, prophetic accuracy and discernment, O Father. I pray, O God, that the prophetic anointing that will rest upon this church will cause, O God, the worship, the prayer, and the leadership of this church to have a new cutting edge, O God. It will be the release of other spiritual gifts into this church. And Lord, when those spiritual gifts are manifested, let the news travel out to the highways, to the byways, to the north, the east, and the south of this place, that they will say, this is a place of miracles. This is a place of healing. This is a place of divine intervention. This is a place of transformation. Lord, we release it into this church in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Pastor. I exalt thee.
Before we finish, let me just share a few things with us as a church. You know, I've always, in the 10 years that we've been in Hong Kong, I love this place. This is my life. I've put everything into this place, and not just me, many of you here. And in the last few years, SP has not been SP. I don't know why. I mean, I kind of have an idea, but maybe because we're growing and now, there's a certain DNA that we've always had and kept growing in this place. And then somewhere along the way, we stopped being SP for some reason. And all of a sudden, it was one of the first times, and it was kind of shocking to me, that people that I felt like should know better, you know, people that I felt like that were always there, all started pointing fingers at me. You know, pointing fingers at church and at leadership, and why are we doing this, why are we doing that? And it's okay. I mean, it's okay to ask questions. But part of me is kind of like, I thought you'd know better than this. You know, we spent our whole lives together doing this thing. And so the last few years, honestly, it's been a little rough. I think a lot of it has to do with money. You know, money brings out bad things in people, right? The money is so spiritual. And I understand that dynamic in things. And so then, the end of last year, God told us as a church, you need to pray. You know, and I actually really didn't understand the dynamics of that until we got into this place, probably like a month ago. And God said, this is a year of prayer. This is the year that we say, Lord, teach us how to pray. And I realized it's actually bringing us back to our DNA again. Who are we as a church? You know, we are a praying army of people. It's not an easy believism. Sorry, go somewhere else, man. right? There's a lot of churches in Hong Kong where you can just go to church. And that's not the DNA of this place. And I'm not saying this is for super Christians. Trust, believe my heart. That's not what I'm saying. But there's certain DNA in this place, and we kind of lost it a little bit, myself included. And I know that, you know, I was going to share this when we get back to service in Hong Kong. But for me personally, I know where I kind of missed it. And honest for me, I became so word focused, you know, and I spent so much time on my sermons. I spent so much time clearly communicating God's word, and that's a good thing. That a part of me, honestly, I kind of let the spirit side pass by me a little bit. I still pray in tongues, and I still operate in the gifts and all those things. But I lean so much on one side that I kind of lost a bit of the other side. And I'm ready to re-engage as a church as well, right? I mean, that's one side there. But it's so significant. God says, teach us, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. You know, and we've been doing this, and I share with during our prayer meetings, I think I've been teaching some good messages on prayer. You know, and I share with people, I literally can feel God's hand on the back of my neck when I'm preaching on Sunday, especially on this topic of prayer. But even in the extent of all this powerful word, most of us, let's be very honest here, you're not praying. Let's just be real. Whatever the case may be, you're not getting on your knees, you're not soaking down, you're so preoccupied with life. You know, and we said in the beginning of the year that this year, what happens this year in prayer dictates the next 10 years, right? And few of us really grab that vision and say, yeah, yes. But a lot of us, you just show up to church. You know, and for what, and I appreciate the words that were spoken over us, and I believe it's going to happen. But it's not going to happen if we stay in this place. You guys understand what I'm saying? And it's contingent upon every single one of us to grab that mantle together, right? And say, all right, let's run with this thing. We don't know what the next 10 years are going to hold. We have no idea. We know it's going to be glorious. I mean, I know it's going to be incredible. But unless we build that foundation of prayer, bring us back to our DNA, right? We're never going to get to that place. And that's why we felt this retreat was so significant for us. You know, and many of you guys were pushed and prodded along to come into this place. Because God's putting us all in line, all in rank, to really continue to go out as God's army. And really do something significant here in Hong Kong and the rest of Asia. We believe that. And what I want to say as your senior leader here, is let's put aside whatever it is that's bothering us at this time, and whatever is going on here. You know, you got issues with me, that's okay. I'm not perfect. Just come talk to me. Don't talk behind my back, right? Seriously, don't talk behind my back, right? Don't accuse me of something to say other people. Don't do that kind of stuff. That's not SPDNA. That's not what this church is about, right? You just come and just talk. I'll listen to you, right? I know I'm not perfect. I'm a lot of mistakes. I understand that. But you come talk to me face to face, man to man, or woman to man, or whatever the case may be, or our leadership and leaders. Oh, seriously, right? That's one of the most discouraging things that I hear, you know, and especially people that should know better than that. But as a result, you know, it is what it is, right? And so I want to encourage you that this year is not over yet, and God is still building the foundation of prayer, right? And so let's pray. Let's dig deep inside. You know, and some of you guys don't want to. That's the best time to do it, when we don't want to. Then we say, God, it's not me. It's not self-centered life. It's God-centered life. So can I just lead us in a prayer right now, just together as a church? And if you agree with what I'm praying, right, you don't have to make any noise, but let it be done inside your heart, that you just agree. Can we do that for a second? Father, Lord, we come to you as a family. God, we recognize, Lord, this is your house. This is not my house. God, this is not the board's house. Lord, this is your house. And we believe that you want to do some amazing things in this house. God, we pray, God, that in the name of Jesus, that you would carry out every single purpose of God in this house, Lord. God, through the leaders, through the members, God, every person, and truly, God, that we would see the work of God in this house manifested in our own families, in our own homes, God. Lord, we believe that you want to do something strategic. We will believe that you want to do something incredibly awesome, way beyond our own abilities, way beyond what we could do individually, God. But together as a family, together as church and churches, Lord, with our plants that are happening, God, that you're going to do something significantly. So now I sign up in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that, you in your own heart, you make that distinction. I sign up with this house. This family is my family. This home is my home. And in the way that I operate, even in my own home, is the way I'm going to operate in this home. Lord, you are my God. This is my family. And so, Lord, we pray that you would change the language of our church, even, God. Lord, that outside of just servants and these things, that you change the language of family in this place. Lord, that there'll be more familiarity, God. That we would truly see each other as brothers and sisters. God, and if I could even humble myself, God, and that people could see me as a father, Lord, in this place. And even as my wife, as a mother. And we know we're still young, God. But Lord, let there be a change in the thinking, God, in the atmosphere around us, Lord. Because a family backs up family. We were in Hawaii this summer in YWAM. And we learned this Hawaiian word, and my kids say it all the time. And it's the word ohana. Ohana is the Hawaiian word for family. What ohana means is no one gets left behind. I love that part. If you watch Lilo and Stitch, it's on the movie. But it's that reality. No one gets left behind. You know, and I'll be honest, I'm glad that you guys are here. I'm so incredibly thankful. But the only that's killing me right now, been killing me this whole retreat, is so many of our brothers and sisters are not here. For whatever reason, whatever excuses, it's really eating me up. And let's make it a point, right, that nobody gets left behind in our family, because this is our family. Amen? And so, Father, Lord, we just want to speak the language of family, God, your house and this place. And so, Lord, we ask, God, that you would change our hearts, Lord. I love what Pastor Ong said, God. Change our value system. Change our value system, God. Help us to honor your house, Lord. Help us to honor you and what you're doing in this place. God, and if we need to spend a season in repentance, God, we give ourselves to that, Lord, in this place. So help us, God. Connect us supernaturally, Lord, even more so. We bless you, God. We love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.